Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Luke, the second chapter of the book of Luke. Second chapter, the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you today for your grace and your goodness, kindness to us. I thank you, Father, for the special time that we're remembering today, the wonderful, precious birth of your wonderful, precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, our trust today is that you'll be able to be honored and glorified through all the things that we've already done, already accomplished. We trust, Lord, that you did receive honor and glory. That's what was intended. And Lord, as we preach this message, we need your help. We need your power, need your wisdom. So once again, Lord, that you'll be honored and glorified. And so, Father, we just trust, should there be anyone here today that's not saved, not born again into God's family, Father, that this would be the day of their salvation. And Father, we ask you to take care of those, Lord, out in their children's churches. Watch over them, take care of them, give them power, give them what they need, Lord, to accomplish that which you've appointed them to do. Now, once again, we place this in your hands, asking you to be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled, God Uses the Least. God Uses the Least. If you will notice in the scriptures, God, most of the time when he's wanting to find somebody to use, will reach down and find somebody which the world would not consider qualified. Usually we look at things, we think that the great news and all of these things are going to come through maybe important people. But here today we see where God just brought the greatest message that's ever been brought to the face of this earth and delivered it to some shepherds. I'm reminded back, and let me reminisce for just a few moments. I remember back to a little boy who lived in a little town, just a little small town, and grew up there outside of a little town called Fillmore, Indiana. I remember very well growing up there. I remember all the things that happened. I remember our life and how we grew up, how we lived. This young boy came out of a family. There was nine in the family, nine children, and we lived there in a little place right outside of Fillmore, Indiana. And I remember wearing hand-me-down clothes. Some of you can remember these same things, but I did. That's what we had. I was the youngest in that crew. I mean, I got handed down. And I remember it well. And I wore a lot of patched clothing. Now, some of you kids don't even know what I mean when I say patched clothing. It was clothing that had holes in it, or worn holes in it, or torn holes in it, and Mom would come along and take a piece of patch of some kind from that same type of a material and sew it on there. They didn't even have those self-stick things then either. They sewed them on there. And I remember very well wearing those patched clothing. A lot of times, bib overhauls. I still love bibs today. I still, when I get away from here and go home, I put on some bibs and go outside and work and do those things. But I wore a lot of bibbed overhauls, and like I say, they was passed down. I wore shirts made out of flour sacks. You don't understand that. I mean, some of you younger do not understand that. I mean, they bought flour from the mill or the store somewhere, and the flour was in a type of a print material, and mom would take the material after the flour was gone and make shirts out of it. That was a normal thing back then. That's what folk did. That's just the way it was. And so I can still remember living in what you would consider, what the world would consider today, a very, very poor family. And yet I still remember the blessings of that family. Some of you, I'm sure, is thinking back in your life and remembering some of the good things that happened in your life. You remember kind of growing up that same way. It may not have been exactly, but that's the way it was. That's the way I grew up. And I remember there living in that little four-room house. I remember no bathroom, no electric lights. Now you say, Brother Ross, you must be 120 years old. But I'm really not. I'm not quite that old. I'm 119. I mean, is what I really am. But anyway, I remember that very well. We did not have any electricity. We did not have the water in the house. We went outside. We pumped our water until later on when I was about 13 years old. We got electricity, but after that got a pump in and all those things. But that's the way we lived. That's the way folk lived back then. And I remember in that little old place out there, they have 7 acres. And I remember across to the south of me, I spent multitudes of time south of me into the woods. It went for a long, long, long way. I spent time in the woods because I loved the woods. I like being out where I believed. I didn't understand it completely then, but I like being out where God's nature was. I like that. Down west of us was the railroad track run right in front of our house, and west of us was Greencastle, Indiana, was down there about six, somewhere in there. And we would go about halfway down that way, and we'd pick up wild strawberries. Strawberry season, they had wild strawberries all along the railroad track, and we'd go down there every year and pick those and spend time there. You go east of us, and there was a little town called Fillmore. Whenever I went to town, that's where I went, a place about 300 people lived, approximately that, and then, of course, out in the country. So anyway, you go north of me, and out north was some pasture land, another person's pasture land. We would go over the gate there, and us boys would go over there, and we'd play softball, using, in all seriousness, I'm serious about this, dried cow manure for bases. That's God's truth. I'm not kidding you. That's what we use for bases. I'm not being trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you the truth. That's what we use. And we'd go over there, and from time to time, we'd get scared out of there with an old bull that used to reside over there somewhat. The game got stopped from a few times, but if he wasn't around, we played softball over there. That's what we did. That's the way I grew up. And grew up in a very poor situation most of the time, especially when I was younger. We walked to school, probably about a mile, mile and a half to school, and probably a mile and a half to the school at least. And we walked to school. That's the way I got to school. That was no big deal. That was nothing to what some folk had to do. You understand what I'm saying? And so I grew up there and grew up as a teenager and learned in a little school there in Fillmore, Indiana. Don't take this good, okay, but I didn't really care much for school. I would much rather be out in the woods. I'd much rather be mushroom hunting or hunting squirrel or hunting rabbit or hunting quail, those kind of things. That's what we did. That's what we did. Now, I wasn't as happy in school as I was somewhere else, but I went to school because I had to, and you are too. Amen. You're going to go too. But anyway, that's the way I grew up, and so anyway, and of course later on, I met a wonderful, wonderful young lady, and she's still a young lady, and a wonderful young lady. We got married. We had 4 children. We have 12 grandchildren, but in 1966, I come to know for sure Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. When I was a boy, I was in church, as in a church that really didn't ever explain to me how to truthfully be saved. They taught some things, but I did not understand how to really be saved. I just went. I remember Christmas times, and it may be I'll explain to you what may be in a minute, but back then we'd go to church, and there was some things in that church they did at Christmas that wasn't the best thing to do, but I always remember them giving us a little sack of candy. They always give us a little sack of candy, and sometimes there'd be a candy cane sticking out of the top of the sack there, you know, a little bit, and everybody got, especially the children, got a little sack of candy. And I remember that vividly. Maybe that is why, maybe I still want to see kids come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and get a sack of candy. Maybe that's part of it. Anyway, amen. Because I still remember that vividly. You know, and I remember the things that the church meant to me, because it meant I could get to see my friends, I could do some things that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. The church was very, very important, although it was not teaching everything it should teach. It was very important to me. It was a very important part of my life. And so later on, after I got married, and I was working at Andicon Aluminum Company in Terre Haute, Indiana, I was in 1966, we got saved. We started going to a little church over in outside of Brazil, Indiana, out in the country, probably 5-6 miles from Brazil. And we got saved. Myself, my family, my wife, my children ended up all being saved. And thank God for that. And then 4 years later, God reached down. And I don't understand all of it, folks. I don't understand. But God reached down and touched this poor little boy who didn't have much. He wasn't a smart fella. He don't have much smarts. I want to tell you right now, we put too much emphasis on smarts instead of power of God. I'm glad for the smarts. Apostle Paul was a smart man. He was a very, very smart man, a good man, and God used him greatly. But if you will look through the scriptures and you also look today at preachers, you'll find most preachers come from background much to what mine was. Not always the same, but usually situations where they wasn't really expected to do too much. And what I'm saying is God looks down and he looks at the least and many times puts his hand on the least and calls them to do something for him. And the reason he does that is so he will get the glory. Amen. And I've spent my 35 years. I've been preaching now for 35 years. And I've spent these 35 years doing my best to try to help people to understand that God must be the one that gets the glory. There's not a person in this room that deserves the glory that God ought to have. No one. None of us. And I've spent my 35 years doing my best as I've learned to point people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and let people know that only he deserves the glory of God. And I think that's why a lot of times God reaches down and takes the least. He don't take the proud. He don't always take those who are qualified, as the world would say. Certainly he has people who are well qualified and well learned. There's nothing wrong with that, and they're being used greatly by God. But you'll notice most of the time God reaches down and just gets some simple old folk that just wants to serve God, just wants to love God. And if you look around here today, and I don't know all your stories, but if you look around here today, wouldn't you not you say that most of the folk in this congregation this morning are just so simple folk? Yes. I'm not saying that unkindly. I'm saying we're just common folk. Amen? Yes. So I'm saying that's the way God does it. Now, it doesn't mean, as we'll see tonight in our message tonight, it does not mean that God does not want to save the elite. It does not mean that God don't want to save the rich and the wise. He certainly does want to save all men, everybody. But I want to tell you, when God chooses a candidate out to serve him, it's usually normal circumstances, usually is, he reaches down and gets someone who's just common folk. You can go back into the scriptures. You can find men like Gideon. The Bible says he was of the poor family of Manasseh. Poor family of Manasseh. And another thing you'll notice, he was just doing the things that he should be doing. just busy about doing what he should be doing. And that's what I believe I was doing at the time that God called me. I was busy, I was working, I was doing what I should be doing. Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press to hide from the Midianites. He was just busy doing what he was supposed to be doing. And I believe that God reached down and touched Gideon and called him to be a judge and a deliverer of Israel, used for a great work. Amen. And you know basically the story of Gideon. Another time that God wanted to choose a king for Israel, he saw, of course, he was tall. He was very tall. He said above all the others, his name was Saul, but he was out of the smallest of the tribes, which was Benjamin. God chose him, and his family, the Bible says his family was of the least of the families. And God chose him to be the first king of Israel. Amen. You see, what was he doing? Well, he was out seeking his father's donkeys that was lost. Just doing what he should be doing, just busy about doing what he should be doing. And all at once, God come along, sent Samuel along, anointed him to be king. I guess in some ways, I look at these young boys and I see the young girls through here and I see them scattered throughout the congregation, and I say to you, you know, you may not be much in this world. The world may not hold you up and honor you, but I want to tell you, God's looking for folk just like you. If you'll just be busy doing the things you ought to do. You understand what I'm saying? God's just looking for common folk that he wants to touch and pull them out from amongst other ones and say, I want to use you. See, we got a man by the name of David, and you all know David, the second king of Israel. And he was the least of Jesse's family. He was the very youngest. I didn't tell you, but I was the youngest of my family, the Ross family. I was the youngest. There was 9 of us. There was 2 sisters, and there was 7 brothers. And I was the 7th brother. I've never known or understood why God passed by all my other brothers and came to the very last one, the least one, and put his hand on him and said, preach the gospel. I don't understand all those things, but that's what God did. Same thing he did with David. He went past by all of the other brothers in David, in Jesse's family there, the sons in Jesse's family, and put his hand upon David. What was David doing? Oh, he was just out tending sheep. Just busy about doing the things that he ought to be doing. Just busy, faithfully being loyal to what he was supposed to be doing. And God just came down and said, David, I want to use you. You see, God uses the least. You notice here in this story, God come along. He could have sent that word to the high priest. He could have sent it to the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. He could have sent that word, that message. But he chose to send that message to some shepherds right outside of Bethlehem. And it was the greatest message that's ever been announced. The greatest message. And who did he choose? Well, he just chose some shepherds there and said, I'm going to send one of my special angels to tell you about that. And the announcement was given here to these special people that God was going to use. Right outside of a town, right outside of the town where God, back in the book of Micah, said that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, would be born. And that was Bethlehem. And it just happened to be some shepherds out there that day, and you know it didn't just happen, but that's what people would say. And some shepherds out there that day on the hills there, watching their flock, watching their sheep. Isn't that interesting? They too was just busy doing what they were supposed to do. Amen. If I can tell you young people anything and get you to listen to this preacher, just be busy about doing right. See, you don't have to look around and say, well, I want God to notice me or want the work. No. Just do right. And God knows who he wants to pick out and choose. But let me say to you, every individual in here, every young person in this room today, God has a special job for you. He's got something he wants you to do. You're very special to him. I don't know what it is. I don't know all of those things. But God has something special for every single one of you. Amen. So just keep on doing right. Just keep doing right. Don't turn away from God. Don't do your own thing. No, just do right. So we find then that the birth announcement is given there to those shepherds. And they said who he is. He's a Savior. He's a Savior. I want to just take a few moments and talk to you this morning. He's not just a Savior. He's the Savior. You know, going back through the history of Israel, they was sent many times saviors, as you want to call up them, that would deliver them from bondage, that would deliver them from enemies, and all of those things. You take men like Moses was sent to Israel and brought them up out of Egypt, you know, and he was sent there to deliver them. You take people like Joshua, he was sent also to deliver them from on this side of the Jordan, to take them over into the promised land and deliver them and give them that land. He was a great savior, a great deliverer, there's no doubt. You take in the book of Judges over and over and over and over, you find different judges that was sent to deliver them out of bondage. But this was not just a Savior. This was the Savior. This was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the only Savior that could save the soul of men and wash away sin. He was it. There was none other. You see, he came to deliver not just Israel, but the whole world. He came to give each and every single individual freedom from that old bondage of sin. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, listen to me, listen to me. Don't you understand? You hear it all the time, and sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, but Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only one that can deliver you from sin. Sin's bondage. Amen. There is none else. Look the world over and you'll never find another one. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. See, he's the only one. He delivers you from the bondage of sin. He delivers you from Satan's bondage. Whether you understand it or not, if you're not saved, you're under Satan's bondage. You're in his kingdom, and you need to be delivered into the wonderful kingdom of the Son of God. And Jesus is the only one that can deliver you. He's it. He's sent to deliver us from death. Thank God that through Jesus Christ, we have life. Amen. Oh, yes, this physical body, I understand, will die one of these days. But, folks, I and if you know Christ, will never, ever, ever die. Your soul will never die. God sent his Son to deliver us from death and give us life. And because of that, folks, we do not have to ever worry. Listen to me. You never have to worry about a place called hell. How many times have you been, you've heard it preached about this hot place in hell? And it is, it's absolutely true. Hell is hot, hell is real. But because of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the true Savior, you'll never have to worry about hell. You just got to be sure that you're born again. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior because he is the Savior. He was sent to be the Savior for the whole world, and that means you. That means Jesus loves you so much. Amen. So just remember, this is the Savior, you see. And he has a right to the title of Savior. The Bible even calls him here, and he says, he says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, the word Christ, the word Messiah, you've heard the word used, the Messiah, the word Christ, basically means the anointed one of God. It's the one that God has appointed. He anointed him and sent him into this world, his wonderful son, to die there on that cross and be our Savior. He's the Christ. See, that's what the Samaritan woman said. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Amen. Hey, think about that. This Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one that God anointed him. He sent him personally, his son, to this world, to this earth, to die on a cross for us, that you might have eternal life. Can you imagine this great truth? He loves you. Jesus loves you. I mean, he loves you so much. He came, he died there for your sins, for the sin of all the world. He is the Savior, you see. He's the Christ. He has a right to that title because that's who he is. Well, I remember back when in the scriptures where it talked about that voice came down from heaven and said of Jesus Christ, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's God Almighty saying this is who he is. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. And God is announcing that that's my son. There's none other like him. He's the Son of God. This morning, I want you to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He loves you dearly. I think about over in John 3 where it says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the word of God. This is Jesus Christ who is God. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. And he speaks the word of God. Whatever he says is the word of God. Young people, listen to me a minute. Look up here. Listen to me. Every time you read that Bible, listen to me, you always stick with the King James Version. King James Bible. You understand me? You keep a King James Bible. Don't get any of these other translations and all that junk. You just get the King James Bible and you read it. And remember something. Everything you read in it is the Word of God. Everything as you look into the Gospels and you see Jesus Christ speaking, he's speaking the words of God because he is God. Will you young people remember this? Will you remember what this preacher said? Jesus is God. Help me. I want you to repeat it. Jesus is God. Say it again. Jesus is God. Amen. You believe that? I believe it because God says it in his word. Don't you ever forget it. Jesus is God. Amen. And he loves you. Amen. He comes as the Savior of all the world, you see. And he's not just some Savior like we talked about earlier. He's not just some Moses or Joshua or the judges' Saviors. No. He is the Savior. He is the only one was able to do what needed to be done for us old sinners. He's the only one could do that, you see. Over in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, 6th verse, he said to us, a child is born. There's been a lot of children born in this old world. We've had some born around here and here lately, some babies born around here. I just love it. I don't know about you. I was at the doctor's office and usually that's where I spend half my life. I was in a doctor's office here the other day and this nurse said to me, she said, did you hear that crying? I said, did I hear that crying? I said, I love it. She said, there's a little 2-week-old baby over there in the next room. And I said, isn't that precious? She said, it is precious. A little 2-week-old baby, I were bawling, you know, and trying to get some attention, you know. I wanted to go help, but they wouldn't let me. But anyway, it was sweet, precious babies, you see. And I'm going to say, yes, a child was born, but it's more than that. A son was given. He's the Son of God. And he was given to this old sinful world. God gave him as a gift to this old world to pay the cost of your sin and my sin. Now, isn't he good? Now, boys and girls, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you thinking about what I'm saying? Is Jesus good? Does Jesus love you? Is he God? Yes, don't let anybody ever tell you he's not God. He's God. God the Son. Amen. Yes, he is. And he loves you. I don't care what anybody says. God, Jesus loves you. And he came as the Savior for all the world. Amen. So the Bible says that a son is given and his name shall be called Wonderful. Do you hear that? Do you agree with me that Jesus is wonderful? Is he wonderful? Boys and girls, is Jesus wonderful? Yes, he is. And he's also a counselor. Yeah, I want to tell you right now, the greatest counsel you can ever get is from this book, from the Word of God. And Jesus is the counselor. Amen. And not only that, the Bible says he's the mighty God. We've already talked about that, but he's the mighty God. Don't ever forget it. Jesus is God. Now, do you believe that? Help me. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Amen. And then the Bible says he's even the everlasting Father. He's called the everlasting Father. He's God. Do you understand? And not only that, he's a Prince of Peace. You looking for peace on this old earth? I was thinking back there when in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Listen to me. A lot of people saying that nowadays. They're saying, well, that's what God is going to send today. No, he's not. No. He's showing forth in prophetically what's going to happen down the road when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes in the millennial reign, and there will be peace on earth. Amen. But there'll never be peace till Jesus reigns. When Jesus Christ comes and reigns, there'll be peace. Amen. Because he's the Prince of Peace. So again, Jesus said over in Revelation, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's everything in between. He's it. None like him.
That's right.
Amen. None like him. He was it. You know what? He was the only one could wash away your sins. The atonement blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that your sins could be washed away. Isn't that wonderful? Little boys, did you know that Jesus died there on Calvary's cross and shed his blood so that he could wash away your sins? And there's nothing else in the whole world can wash away those sins but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Do you understand that? Amen. Well, don't you ever forget it. See, it's his blood. There is no one else, girls, no one else in the whole world can wash away your sins and give you eternal life but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's none. Nobody. Only Jesus. To do. Now, will you remember that? Will you remember that? Amen. Will you remember that? Don't ever forget it. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that came, and he all alone could do what needed to be done. And that was that your sins be washed away, your debt be paid for your sin. And he alone did it. Amen. Sure. His righteousness, I think it's amazing. His righteousness is sufficient for every believer. See, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he imputes unto you his righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It's not mine. We're not good enough. But Jesus imputes unto us, and that means gives unto us, his righteousness. Amen? Sure. He's the only one could do that. There's no one else. No one else could do that. Only Jesus. Amen. Priests can't do it. A preacher can't do it. Deacons can't do it. Church members can't do it. Only Jesus can wash away sin. Amen. And he came as the Savior to wash away your sin. You see, we find in verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see, the Bible wants us to look unto Jesus. He's the only one. No one else can do it. It's Jesus. If you're not saved, if you're not trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're not ready for heaven. I'm not being mean. I'm not being unkind. I'm telling you the truth. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you agree with that? That's what the scripture says, what the word of God says. See, you must be born again. And thank God for the joy. That's the message, a joyful message that God sent to all the world. That's a message of joy. Folks, if you're saved this morning, you ought to be happy. I'm not just talking about the happiness from all the problems. I'm talking about the joy that resides within because of Christ, the Son of God. He brings joy to our hearts. Why? Well, we've got eternal life. Amen. We're His, you see, forever. I think it's interesting. I won't spend much time on this, but if you look at verse number 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Did you notice that the angels could not say, "Unto us was born"? He said, "Unto you is born." He didn't say unto us, and the reason he couldn't say that, because the angels, Jesus didn't die for the angels. He died for us. You understand? They didn't have the privilege. Those angels that fell did not have the privilege to be redeemed. God redeemed mankind. And that's why the angel had to proclaim, "As unto you a Savior is born." Unto you, think about it. Unto you, little boy. Unto you, little boy. Unto you, every one of you. And all these little girls over here, and all of them scattered throughout this congregation. It's you that Jesus came to die for.
Amen.
Amen. Sure he did. And so because of that, he gives us a joy that just cannot be explained. Verse 10, he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy," he said, "which shall be to all people." And I like that because he says all people. I don't care who you are. You see, Brother Ross, you don't know what I've done. It really doesn't matter. He come to bring you joy. You say, "You don't know my life." It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. That means every single person on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save them. You understand what I'm saying? You say, and will he save them? Yes. You'll call upon the name of the Lord. You'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you shall be saved. That means you believe in your heart. You trust Christ. And God washes away all the sin. He's the Savior. Understand? He's the Savior, you see. So what should we do? Well, I'll tell you what I think we ought to do. We ought to do like the shepherds did. If you look in verse number 15 real quickly, "Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You know what they said? They didn't say, "Well, let's just go see if this thing is true or not." Well, they didn't say that. No, let's go see this thing that we've been told about. They went to inquire. The greatest thing that you could do this morning is inquire into the truth of the Word of God, the Bible. See, what God said is true. I just want to tell you, it's true. How do you know, Brother Ross? Because back in 1966, I inquired into the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I found out it's true. And I simply called upon Jesus Christ to be my Savior and forgive me of my sin. And he did it. Literally turned my life around. Faith in him. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. So I'm saying to you, you ought to do exactly this morning what the shepherds did. You ought to inquire into the truth of this gospel message. Amen. And it is true.
Amen.
Amen. You see, if you'll read the Bible, you'll find all the whole story about this wonderful Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find his birth. You'll find his life. You'll find his death. You'll find his resurrection. You'll find his ascension into heaven. And you'll find that he's utterly able to completely, fully save to the uttermost. He'll save your soul and give you eternal life. Then you say, Brother Ross, what should we do then? Well, what we ought to do then is what verse 17 says. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." It's hard for me to understand. I'm just being serious. It's hard for me to understand that we as Christians know this wonderful story and know what happened to us, that we would not want to share it with everybody else. That's hard for me to understand. He give us eternal life. And the shepherds said, "Well, I'm not going to keep it to myself. Let's go and let's proclaim it. Let's tell everybody." We sit here this morning as people, and many of you I know claim to be saved. I know you do, and that's wonderful. That's good. I'm just saying, though, should not we, like the shepherds, want to proclaim that to a world that's lost? Amen. You see, I'm saying to you this morning, we ought to get so excited about what God has done that we ought to do like he says in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We ought to praise God and thank God for all he's done. The Savior was sent to us. Amen. Don't walk around with an old sourpuss face. You got a reason to praise God. It's a wonderful, wonderful reason to praise God. God sent his son to die for us. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I'm gonna finish. But I want you to know something. I want you to ever forget it. You listen to this preacher? Look up here at me. Look up here at me. Listen to me. Jesus loves you. He's the only Savior. Now listen to me. Boys and girls, you listen to me. If you've never been born again, if you've never had a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. You understand that? You understand that? You cannot go to heaven. There must be a time when you're born again. Now, but God wants to save you and give you eternal life. That's his desire. That's why he came. He wants you saved this morning. If you're not saved, the greatest thing you do this morning is come down this aisle at the invitation and say, I just need to be saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm ready for heaven. And I just need to be saved. And I want to be saved this morning. I want to tell God I'm an old sinner and I need help. I need God's help. And Jesus died for me. He's the Savior. We heard about that this morning, didn't we? He's the only Savior. Now, if you are saved already, you're already born again, the thing you ought to do is just give your life to proclaiming the truth of this wonderful message we heard about this morning. You ought to spend the rest of your life in every place you go, all the things you do, as having an unction to go out and let people know there's a wonderful Savior out there. And he's your Savior. Amen. We ought to just praise God about it. Okay? Now, I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes just a moment. Everybody. That means everybody, bow your head. Close your eyes. I want to ask you a question. Say, Brother Ross, I know for sure. I'm not playing games. I know for sure that there was a time in my life. I know if I died today, I know I would go to heaven for sure. No doubt about it. Would you just raise your hand and say, I know for sure I'm a Christian. Don't raise it because somebody else did. I know for sure I'm a Christian. Thank you. Put your hands down. You say, Brother Ross, you know, I do not know for sure I'm a Christian. I just do not know for sure. I've had religious experiences. I've had this and that. But I do not know if I died today, for sure I'd go to heaven. And I just want you to pray for me. This preacher's not going to call your name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. And other people are not looking. I'm just going to say to you, if you say, Brother Ross, I don't know for sure I'm ready for heaven. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? And would you just lift up your hand? You can put it right back down. No one's going to call you out. No one's going to embarrass you. See, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Someone else. Just lift your hand, put it back down. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I want you to listen to me very closely, okay? If you are not saved and you're not sure you're saved, Jesus Christ loves you so much. That's why he came. You're not here by accident this morning. You're here because the Lord loves you and he sent you here to hear the word of God. And he wants to save you. He wants to save you more than you want to be saved. You understand me? That's why he came. See, that's why he was the Savior. And he wants to save you. No one can make you and would not even try to make you. But the smartest, wisest thing that you could do, we're going to stand in just a moment here. We're going to begin to sing. The wisest thing you could do is immediately go from where you are and come over to an aisle and come down and let us take. If you're a lady, we'll get some lady to help you. If you're a man, we'll get some man to help you. Come down this aisle and say, I just want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I want to know for sure I'm God's child. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness, your wonderful grace. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message of salvation. And thank you this morning, Lord, you'll save anyone that's willing to just trust you and put their faith and trust in them, in you. And Father, so I pray today that the will of God be done. I pray you give them courage just to follow through and just to come and let the word of God be showing them that they may be saved. I pray for Christians today, for us to be have a heart of simply being willing to proclaim the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.